on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 7:33 is the time from our studios. Apologies for coming a little behind schedule. I'm Sharif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
We will take a break right now. After the break, we'll come back and take your reactions. Well, we'll come back to take the headlines, basically, on the show today. Let's begin with dailies today.
When opportunity knocks, Doreen answers. It rolls up its sleeves and gets down to business. Doreen, it doesn't cry over yesterday's mistakes. It moves. Nothing ever gets done without someone doing. So, what are we doing today? MTN. When opportunity knocks, Doreen answers. It rolls up its sleeves and gets down to business. Doreen, it doesn't cry over yesterday's mistakes. It moves. Nothing ever gets done without someone doing. So, what are we doing today? MTN.
All right, let's begin. You can watch live on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. Facebook, YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're going to start with the punch. Page two of the punch. Presidency. Obese camp protest as PDP dumps zoning. Screening begins Friday.
Yes, apparently succumbing to pressure, the PDP has decided to dump its own laws concerning, albeit temporarily, concerning zoning. I think that is actually coming from the Atiku camp. You know, the zoning arrangement they had was north-south, north-south. Okay? But Atiku, this is Atiku's last attempt. And I don't think he's ready to sacrifice that attempt at primaries level. I think he'd like to go the whole hog. And I would suspect that because of his influence and whatever, he will have his way. In any case, even in the past when they did have zoning, you still found a few candidates come up at that time. In 1999, for example, when it was zoned to the south, Abubakar Rimi still contested. And of course, you know that he lost. The part that I find disturbing is where we just cannot apply ourselves to the laws we set ourselves, where we don't have that discipline. It's across the parties. You have what they call waiver. How can you have waiver to existing laws? If you were going to have waivers in the first instance, why have the laws? Why not leave these things to be determined as and when due, and we stop playing the indisciplined whatever card? You say it's waiver for this and waiver. How can you have a waiver for a law? So if somebody steals, do you give him a waiver for going to court and being sentenced if he's found guilty? We need to be disciplined in the things that we do. If we know that it's going to present a difficulty, then don't let us put in some of these laws. If I belong to a political party now, one of the things I'd be saying is that, look, there's no zoning. Let's make it open all the time. You can have arrangements. That's why I say that you know, the problem is not with our constitution, basically, in certain, the problem is with us as a people. We just don't know how to follow existing laws. In any case, what we now have is, it's open to everybody. An unfortunate statement came from an unfortunate person, under unfortunate circumstances from somebody it shouldn't have come from. And let me say what that statement is. Peter Obi's spokesman says that it will be injustice if Southeast is denied the PDP ticket. What he has also done now is injustice to his own candidate. Peter Obi has a lot of acceptance across the country. Indeed, in one survey, it was said that he was the leading candidate. For his own spokesperson to now bring Peter Obi's candidacy back into a Southeast ticket is a mitigated disaster. And that is why when you have spokespersons and strategists, they must be deep-thinking people. Peter Obi should stay out of it. He has his own steam, he has his own credibility, he has his own name that is beyond. In fact, the moment you bring him back into a Southeastern ticket or whatever it is, you diminish him. So I'm going to ask Mr. Obi, could you better look for somebody else to keep talking on your behalf, because this doesn't do you much good. I would have thought that Peter Obi or his spokesperson would have maintained what you call a dignified silence at this time. Whether you like it or not, believe you me, from where I am sitting and what I can see, Peter Obi is probably the forerunner in the PDP amongst all the candidates. He's the most visible, and it appears that he might be the most acceptable, at least for now. Anyway, so that's where we are with the PDP. Fayose says he'll be guided by the party's decision, but that he's still going to go ahead and is sure on victory. Tambuwal, who is also a contestant, says that one of his aides who wished not to be named said the governor was ready to give it all by contesting the primaries on May 29. And an aide to Atiku, Paul Ibe, said that Atiku was ready for the primaries and that Nigeria needs a national leader, not a regional head, which Peter Obi himself has said. Well, like I said, we'll keep looking. I still maintain what I said. What politicians look for in the candidates might not necessarily be what we, the people who are going to vote, are going to look for. But we have to wait till we have candidates. We still have aspirants. It's an interesting drama. Get your popcorn ready. Get your soft drink ready. You're going to enjoy yourself watching this. But I hope at the end of the day, Nigeria becomes the beneficiary of whatever choices are made.
Indeed. We're live on Facebook for you, Nigeria Info 99.3. You can watch and drop your comments on the stories that we're treating. We're also on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3.
I thought, Sherif, that you might want to say something about what Peter Obi's spokesperson said.
No, nothing. You've said everything.
I've said everything. You said concur. Everything.
Yes, there's yes, no, I totally agree with you. Yeah, totally.
Chop knuckle on that one.
Let's go pick up the Vanguard, page 8 of the Vanguard. Insecurity, DSS warns of more bomb explosions in public places.
I take any DSS statement very, very seriously because that's the job they're assigned to do. And I always believe I've interacted with quite a number of them and that these people know their onions. So if we have this kind of warning come up, then we need to be extremely careful. We need to be extremely careful. And so for us in our religious centers, that is churches, mosques, and so on and so forth, we need to keep an extra eye and the lookout for whatever, might be untoward that might happen. Now, in the case of Lagos especially, we need to be extra careful because that's the prime target, And I am still aghast that driving on Eko Bridge from Akpogbon all the way to Kostin, all the way to Western Avenue and further on, you still find a lot of activity under the bridges in spite of the government's directive. I mean, if you go from the National Theater end all the way down to Kostin, it's full of tankers, it's full of a whole lot of activity. I still saw it late last week, I think Friday or Saturday, I can't remember, fully occupied tankers. Now, if there was ever a need for a target, that is one. And you jolly well know what could happen if that bridge comes down. Again, I am appealing to the government. I've been doing this for ages until we had the fire. The fire is the least of the risks that you would have under any of our bridges. The bigger risk is that of sabotage. And you've provided the environment. You have provided the environment. We are going to plead for the umpteenth time to the government to please clear under those bridges. The Ijora, it's called Ijora, yes. From if you look at it from National Theater, if you're driving now, just look under you. From National Theater end all the way down to Kostin, it's filled with tankers, with activities and all kinds of things. We are providing, the issue of Okada, of course, is well known. We are providing an avenue for security breaches. And we keep calling on the government to please do the needful. To please do the needful. Because the DSS has said that the targets are also public areas that could cause a lot of impact. And I don't need to stress it any further. I think the message is quite clear to those who have the responsibility to do so. Do not let us play Russian roulette with our lives. Let me explain Russian roulette for those who might not understand. Russian roulette is that you have a gun of 8 rounds, and you put 4 bullets in it. So you put the gun to your head and you click. You don't know which is empty in the chamber. You don't know which is loaded. That's what we are doing. That is what we are doing, and it's sheer indiscipline on our part. That's what we are doing. So we need to get that right under the bridges. We'd like to call a Lagos State government, clear all under bridges so we can have a clear the bridges, board them, light them up. That is what security is all about. Security is not about letting the incident happen and then looking for the culprits, in which case you would never find them.
Straight from the Vanguard to the Nation newspaper, we have two stories on the Nation. We're going to start with page 4 of the Nation. Terrorists release photos of 62 train attack hostages.
Yeah, this is this story has been pushed to the background, but the truth is we have 62 Nigerians who are held by the hostages. One of them is a very elderly woman. I think she's about 85. She's diabetic. And here is a photograph. If you're watching on YouTube, here is on Facebook Live, here is a photograph of these people huddled together. The thing we thank God for in the first instance is that they are alive. In this story, it says here that the Nigerian Railway Corporation is unsure of the exact number of those abducted simply because they don't have a manifest. And somebody's head should roll for that, where you run this kind of public service without a manifest. But we'll get to that. How do we get these 62 people out of captivity? If you ask me, in all sincerity, the only way is to negotiate, you know, their exit. You can't attack them. You can't attack where they are because, I mean, you're putting their lives in danger and the purpose might be defeated. But then the dilemma crops up. For how many times will you continue to negotiate when your people are held in captivity? Every country likes to say boldly in public that they will not negotiate with criminals. But sometimes you have a reality. And the reality here is that 62 of your persons are in captivity. I'm sorry to say this because here we are. We hear that the MD of the Bank of Agriculture was able to secure his own freedom with 100 million naira. We don't know whether it was government funds or it was his personal funds. I honestly don't know. But the question is, I think what applied to the MD of the Bank of Agriculture should jolly well apply to these other 62 persons so that we can get them out of there. Or else, you leave the rest of us Nigerians, you leave us wide open to the impression that, oh, the elite are a special lot we might not be caring that much for the ordinary persons. That kind of idea is not good. It's not good for the government to allow that kind of idea germinate in us. So they need to step up the act. What I do know is that no military action can release these people without having damage. Very unlikely, without having damage. So we might have to negotiate our way out of this.
Right. So we're going to flip now. Let's go to another story on page 2 of the Nation newspaper. Father of Christland pupil denies apology.
Wow, this... This caught me by surprise, rather. You know, Sharif, yesterday we were talking about that apology, that it wasn't written by the girl. Apparently, it wasn't written by her, because according to what is being said here, her father said that they had closed down her account long before this other apology is supposed to have been posted. So some people have been cloning the account, which is very unfortunate.
It's quite unfortunate.
I mean, that's a dangerous prank. It's an unfortunate prank. And if I'm sure we have the means to find out who could have done this, to serve as a lesson to others. But for all it's worth, let me read what the father said. He said that my daughter has never touched the phone for the past 2 weeks, and I would assume so. I mean, since this incident came to public knowledge, I would assume that immediately her account would have been knocked out. It says she has never touched anything internet. Those accounts are fake, and we have deleted them as of Friday. 87 fake accounts. have cropped up.
87.
87 fake accounts. There's so many idol people, you know,
yeah,
evil
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
Idol, evil, 87 fake accounts.
I mean, to what, why?
All of them are fake and they are imposters. And I'll quickly add, if in case, in any of those accounts, for those of you who have bothered to go there, they're asking for money, you've been had. Because sometimes it can be used, you know, these Yahoo guys can use it to say they're doing some Go, what do you call it now? Is it Go Me Fund or Go Fund
Me? Go Fund Me.
That's what it is. Mm. Not Go Me Fund. Mm. Okay, Go Fund Me.
Go Fund Me.
Go Fund Me.
Yes.
Okay, spell it.
Go Fund Me.
I said spell it.
I just did. Go Fund Me.
What's the spelling of fund?
F-U-N-D.
Go Fund Me. Okay. The father says she doesn't have an account on Likee. The account was closed as soon as we found out. These people hid this thing for the past 1 month. We found out and raised the alarm. On Friday, I was coming from Kpanti, SAID. I was with my daughter in the car. My wife and lawyer were in the car, and we were driving home when a friend called me that my daughter was chatting now. You see? They're chatting in the poor girl's name. I said my daughter is with me now and doesn't have any phone with her. Let me quickly address something that is important for those of us, all of us, to know. Let me plead with you to keep your personal life out of the social media. It doesn't do you any good. Once again, I said, let me plead with you for your own safety, for your own sanity, and so that, you know, you don't create problems for yourself, to keep your graduation pictures, your this picture and that picture, as much as possible for your own interest, to keep it out of the social media. All kinds of mischief take place in these places. I mean, if in such a short time you have had 87 of these accounts being opened, there's no guessing what they could have been used for. So I plead with our people to please, you know, be a bit whatever. Okay? And the author of a book, Trapped in Oblivion and My Daughters and I, Ifeoma Theodore Jr., has said that children are simply living on what the society, school, parents, government, church, and may I add mosque, offers them as they interact with the different social agents while growing up. We, on our part here, those of us in the media, we need to start a campaign, you know, alerting people to the... I saw one boy, the boy is probably about 6-7, with a green bottle at a party, dancing with his mom.
Oh.
He don't finish the bottle, he don't correct. Oh. So even from the way he held the bottle, you know, he knows how to put it in his mouth. Little things like that, I would plead with you, you know, to try and keep them off the social media until we have much better control. If you follow international news, you will know that the EU and even the United States of America, they're trying to, as much as possible, bring legislation to put
some
social
restrictions,
media
under
control. In the meantime, I'd say that if you can, as much as possible, you stay off.
Yeah. It's better for your own sanity. Let's go to the Punch newspaper, page 18 of the Punch. Lagos makes case for tolling on Lekki-Ikoyi Bridge.
Once again, this issue has reared its ugly head in the newspapers, and it says here that the Lagos state has made its case for its legal right to collect tolls on the Lekki-Ikoyi Link Bridge, stressing that tolling on the Link Bridge is lawful. In recent times, I've avoided making comments on some of the things that happen because, you know, I just don't understand where it's coming from. But I need to make this one in public interest. I'd like to advise that the Lagos government, that the issue of the tolling of the Lekki Bridge is a metaphor for people's resistance to a lot of things and is beyond the issue of the bridge. More so, since due diligence was not done, the government didn't come to Equity with clean hands initially. It was, in fact, I think it was on a program here that we suddenly discovered that the LCC actually was owned virtually by the government. In the light of this and recent developments, my advice to the government is to let sleeping dogs lie. The issue of the toll gate, people's resistance to the toll gate, apart from its own merits, And given the history of the handling of the whole exercise from the beginning, which I must quickly add, part of it is beyond the current government in place, and the controversies that have surrounded it, the mysteries and so on and so forth, is such that I think any student of political history will be telling you that this it has become a metaphor. Also linked with the issue of what happened at the NSAS in Lekki, it has become a metaphor for resistance. And it is beyond logic, it is beyond law. It is not a matter of law, it's not a matter of logic. It is what is put in the forefront as a resistance to a lot of things that are happening in the state. And my advice, you know, to the government would be, you know, to just let sleeping dogs lie and find another way to make up for the money that, you know, that has been expended on those two bridges. Is what we call, let me put it, what we call in the local beer parlors when we are eating ECAU and all these other things, it is what is called bad markets. And a bad market. So I would advise very strongly that, especially again in an election year, that the government should just let sleeping dogs lie and let the people enjoy what we sometimes call the dividend of democracy.
Indeed. Let's go to this story here in the Punch newspaper. Story is on page 13. No man should die of prostate cancer again.
Every man that is over 50 has a fear of prostate cancer. If somebody knocks the door of this studio now and say, who is that? You say, it's prostate cancer. I'm a meh on. I would leave Cherry for himself. The truth is that there's a constant fear for men. I don't know if that is peculiar to African men of a certain age and above. I think 50 and above, to have a fear of prostate cancer. I saw somewhere where it's the figures were giving something like 7 out of 10 or something close to that. You'd have prostate anyway, but whether it would be prostate cancer is another thing. Let's go into the technicality. The good news is that Professor Kingsley Ekweme, who is a consultant urological and robotic surgeon, has said through the use of laparoscopic radical prostatectomy. Thank God I don't read the news. I'd be a disaster. Laparostic, what is you see? Laparostic radical prostatectomy, men will no longer die of prostate cancer. He is the clinical, Dr. Ekweme, Professor Ekweme, is the clinical lead surgeon for urology at Glant Clywyd Hospital in Wales, United Kingdom. Apparently, part of that, the new process that they have, would be, you know, would be brought to Nigeria for different surgeries. You have to find out where that is going to take place. I can't run the commercial for him on the radio. But listen to this. He says, what we do is to cure prostate cancer. It is killing our men, and it is the commonest cancer in men. And surgery is the main alternative for the cure of prostate cancer. But traditionally and currently, what a patient will be lucky to get in Nigeria is open surgery, where they cut you from top to bottom. I think it's from somewhere all the way down. With that, there is blood loss, and they spend many days in hospital, and it leads to death a lot of times. Now you don't have to do that. With the innovation of our cure procedure, that is his own, introduced in Nigeria for treating prostate cancer, which he is in Nigeria to do with British assistance. He says that with the cure technique, the patient goes home the next day, and he is potent. Yeah, it's very crucial. The engine is not knocked, it is revived. He goes home, not only does he go home the next day, he is also potent. And he says that that is what many Nigerians, the ones that can afford it, come to have done in the UK. So they brought and a group of doctors have brought Nigerians to take advantage of that. I can't tell you where you're going to get that. That you know, it's for
that's commercial.
But it's commercial. But you can find it in the Punch on the health page. So if you had, I don't know how much that is going to cost, because the story doesn't say how much it will cost. But definitely, it'll be much cheaper than buying the tickets, going to India, going to the UK.
Right.
But then we love anything that is not Nigerian. You see, find some people, instead of doing it here, they like that. In case I will die, let it be written in my obituary that he died in a London hospital. And people are funny. I'll never forget somebody who went to a funeral. I said, Kai, if you see the way they do bury Papa, let's go hungry you.
I've heard that before, actually.
Yes, yes.
I've heard that before.
We like anything, but the technology is here, and you go home the next day. And you can test your virility as soon as you get, not as soon as you get on, but where, hey, you still be potent. That is if you were potent before the surgery, yeah. No.
But we have to go now. 7:58. We have to leave the studio.
What's you have 2 minutes. It's,
yeah, that's the time we need to use to say our bye-bye.
Oh, okay. Bye-bye.
No, it's not like that. Devumi, who is coming?
I have somebody who is... Auntie Bumi's daughter, by implication. She was born on the day she was born. When I went for the dawah, I got to round up. I'll give the story at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
You hear the story of my guests.
All right,
let's go.
That's our show, Lagos. Let's go now. We'll have the news for you at the top of the hour. Good morning to you.
When opportunity knocks, doing answers. It rolls up its sleeves.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.